I'm standing in the bathroom. In front of me is the microphone on a stand. But my mental self is wrapped up in something completely different. Today, I think of him. I think about him every day. The thought of him is a habit. I visit his grave every day, every day, every day, every day. A green lawn, a black stone. I plant some lavender in front of the stone. He is astray in a turn. I see him. It is not him. He's a lone piece of chocolate, but it's not he who left it there. He died. I really never said goodbye, because until the very last it seemed as if it never happened. I sat there, by the bed, watching him die. But I could never believe it. I cannot believe it. I could not, cannot believe it. It goes from spring to summer, a tender point between the two of us. In the midst of the flowering of new beginning, bird on branches flirting, some are taking their first summer bath. Here I am standing in the bathroom trying to breathe life into what became closing. An archive of emotions streaming, I seek the alternative in sorrowful spring. I have proof that he died, because I was there. And on the black stone it says when he was born and when he died, my son. Between the two points, without a period, he lived. When did you die? A little. Just a little. Inside you. Every day, every day, every day. So I'm standing here in front of his grave again. His stone is black and the writings on the stone are white. The flowers on the grave are quite miserable. I have to change them because it's turning into May, and of course a grave should look nice and pleasant. The sea is mirroring the glow from the evening sun. Every day, every day, every day the sea gives a gift. The ocean has no boundaries, but always moves until it hits something and then ends that meeting and move on. The sea itself has no memories, but carries the memories ashore. By the water, the first place we stayed, Daniel and I, he and I. Daniel was born on the 3rd of May and died on the 11th of May. 30 years later. There is no pain as great as memory of joy in the present sorrow, wrote Aeschylus, the Greek tragedy maker who may have lived, perhaps, from 524 to 455 before Christ. And he also wrote that memory is the mother of all wisdom. When a loved one dies, the risk of depression and anxiety increases. There is a danger of reduced physical health and may result in an increased suicide rate. Our first travel together was away from a horizon that mirrored itself in the ocean. In a truck, with the few possessions we had, a bed that you could pull out as you grew, a table to fold and a wicker chair and toys, plastic toys. We moved to Oslo. I was going to be a student and we were both going to be social. Urban, that's what we became. We moved away from the isolation. But the woman moved to it. The woman traveled to the very outer naked islet in a sea gap.
You know, where the sea is yawning at you.
The woman had met a man, a stranger. She had to like him. She could not do anything else. She sacrificed everything. She had nothing. Then she sacrificed who she was. It may be so. We sort of become another with a change, constantly away from what we once were. She also lost her son, like me. I will tell you about her. Here I am standing in the bathroom. Where are you now? I would like to have looked you into the eyes when I told you about her and Daniel. Daniel was my son.
If you turn your head to the right, what do you see? I look into a bathroom wall. I'm still standing in the bathroom.
Well, not now then.
This minute, I'm walking on the graveyard towards his grave.
It is the author, teacher, collector, storyteller, Regine Normann, who has written about her. She has written a fairy tale about her. She moved. There she lived, in the outermost place. But she was not unhappy. It was steep where she lived, and there was not much else there but this steepness, and a place to attach the boat, a boat, an earthen hut, more than she ever had owned. But she owned so much more. In the morning, she could see life in the sea, where the waves made contemporary dance and the birds settling around her. It was just the two, her and him. And all the birds, all the birds.
Alle fugler.
She sang and hummed and fooled, laughed and smiled. He was beautiful and smiled. Then all the birds, the diversity of an army of birds, all kinds of birds were there, keeping her company, because he travelled out with the boat and was gone for a long period of time. She did not know where he was going and travelling. But the birds were there for a while. Then they travelled too.
Birds have the longing of travelling in their blood. Summer disappeared, the birds. For every flock that left, it was more landscape.
But she was happy because she gave birth to a son. Now she could not feel the loneliness, hold him in her arms, lift him up and smell him.
Loneliness. He lies alone under a black stone, like a small bundle of ashes.
At least 6 months after the loss of a person, one can experience severe longing, as well as possible symptoms such as emotional anesthesia, feeling lifeless, distrustful of others, bitterness, difficulty accepting the loss, confusion of identity, and problems with moving on in life.
One day, Daniel called.
One day, the three of them sat down by the water. The boy had just learned to walk. The man looked at her and said, "I'm leaving now. I will not come back." She touched her own earlobe, could not believe it, looked at the tall man. His eyes were wandering away, did not rest. "Do not leave us." "Don't worry. I will make sure you have enough to live on, unless you forget me." He had to leave. No matter how much she begged, she cried, sobbed, screamed, begged, he could not leave them there, in the wind, in the storm, alone with the waves of the sea. She had no one. The child had only them. She sweated in her neck of terror. He did not listen to her, tried to hug her, stroke his son, strök Agora, and walked away, jumped in the boat and was gone. She sat back and stared at him until the boat became invisible to the eye in the shine of the evening sun. Then she took the boy by the arm, carried him into the hut and closed the door.
One day Daniel called. He travelled away, lived abroad, lived a good life, he said. I know he lived well. He came back and was an adult.
Here you can hear him as an adult. He's out skiing. He is filming himself as he talks.
Hello, Alex. And then, hi, Mari. Someone fell. I just fell too. I was walking, minding my. I was walking, minding my own business, and then a guy came with a dog and a rope between him and the dog, come on either side of me, and I couldn't go anywhere, so shoo, there I went on my butt. And here's Sheila, she's standing here in this beautiful area. We're actually on a lake now, and yeah, it's very beautiful, very nice, very warm now.
Autobiographical memory is a reconstructive process. Literature shows that memory affects grief, and telling of the dead has a preventive effect on how grief seizes one's life. We have known that. No need for research to confirm it. Like watching over the dead in some traditions where stories of the dead are told.
Daniel was a scout. Of all things, a really miserable thing, because usually I forgot to dress him for the activities, poor boy. There was a period when Daniel thought he had superpowers, meaning 7 to 8 years of age. And I mostly dressed in second-hand clothes. I was a student at that time, and it was perfectly proper to wear second-hand clothes. You would call it vintage. A strong underline that I studied humanities at Blinnan, the department of the university. The day this happened, or the evening this happened, I was dressed in black, long coat, a big black hat on the head, and this probably made me look older than my actual age. It was autumn, and darkness lay heavy in the evenings. I had picked up my son at the scout, and hand in hand we walked home and talked about things that you talk about when you go home, probably at that time building Lego. In the other hand, I carried a handbag. Then we came to a small street at the bottom of the place called Sagene in Oslo. A dark street we had to go through. My son kept talking. In the dark, I saw two young men or boys walking towards us. They saw us. They parted. One placed a hood over his head, and I understood what was going to happen. Their tranquility came over me, and I had a firm grip on both the child's hand and the handbag. The boys came closer, and as they passed us, one of them jumped towards me and grabbed my handbag. He had underestimated my age. I was stronger and pulled back, so the boy fell to the ground. Scared, he quickly got up and limped, leaping as fast as he could away from the failure. His friend had already run away. A huge rage rose and released all the dragons that were asleep inside me, as loud as I could, with a full throat and an imposed tenor voice. I shouted a curse over the robber. Listen to my words. Yes, something poetic I also got in. Listen to my words. I will never, ever forget you. I think I scared the life of him and, well, frankly, I have no idea how he looked like and would never have recognized him later. My son did not see what was going on because he was talking about a Lego. Not until then, not until when I screamed and then his superpowers came out. Oh, ha, ha. He was hitting with arms and his mouth went like a waterfall. Oh, we had to call the police, the fire brigade, ambulance, he proclaimed. Then, after that, he would sit on the roof of the house that night and watch over me. This he brought vital benefits for you and me, for him and her, them and us. Early in the morning, the woman and her son had to leave the enclosed hut. There was a chest floating in the sea. She pulled it ashore and opened it. There were clothes of color like the sea for both of them. Every day came a chest with presents. So they managed, mother and son, through dark days and long nights, through wind and storm and breeze. Every day a chest, but it did not come. The years went by and yet he did not come. It is not that he does not come back, which is the worst, but everything the two of us cannot experience together. The birds are coming back. They always come back to the same place. Every time we see a bird fly away, we think he has just been here. One night was worse than the others. The sea rose and she thought they were going to drown. The foam stood sky high and she pulled her son into a corner, held him and thought about him. How would the man survive? Imagine if he arrived now. She went out of the hut and left her son alone. She pressed herself against the storm, tried to push it away. What if he came and his boat was thrown against the islet? But her eye reached nothing but a troubled sea wherever she turned, and neither boat nor ship was seen. Something moved. Something fluttered a wing. A large bird struggled to stay upright, one wing hanging down. It was an ocean horse, havhest. In Norway, we call this bird havhest, meaning ocean horse. In English, it is called fulmar. Havhest. Say it high, low, whisper, scream it. Fulmar, havhest, has a short and thick neck and a strong head. The beak is short and rough with two tubular nostrils. Havhest nest along the coast of the North Atlantic, from Newfoundland in the southwest to Svalbard and Novaya Zemlya in the northeast, and to the coast of northern France in the south. It also nests in the northern Pacific along the coast of Alaska and Russia. Havhest is the only storm bird to breed on Svalbard. It can almost be a half meter in size and can be 60 years old. 60 years old! It's longer than... She took the bird, carried it inside the hut, nursed it, and the bird received her care without protests. When Daniel was 5 years old, we found a small and young bird. We tried to care for it. It died. The woman fell asleep with the bird at the foot end of the bed. Then she dreamed. In the dream he came a king of the dream, stroking the bird, stroking the boy, looked at her, did not touch her, then went his way. The days passed, the bird healed and was with the boy all the time. One day she saw them sitting at the edge of the water while the boy sat, and the bird stood by his side. The bird stretched its wings and the boy imitated the bird. It was as if they were talking together. Birds, other birds, floated around the two and squatted and spoke. The mother smiled, said some words, turned her back to them. The boy was safe. She turned back. They were gone. Well, not completely gone. They were out there on the sea. The boy sat on the bird's back. She threw everything away. What if something happened to the boy? She ran. I ran into the room where my son stood in the open window. He was 3 years old, dressed in blue. I ran forward and grabbed him as he stood there wobbling. She ran, I ran, she ran, I ran. You, she screamed. You could have drowned. What would your father say then?
He says nothing.
This is his horse. He taught me how to ride it. I will be king after father. My father is a king. Tomorrow I will leave you, mother. He called me and said, now I'm going to die. He wrote in his diary, I am not afraid of dying. What are you saying? His mother said. You are joking. This is my fault. I let you play with the birds. Then she chased the birds away. She threw stones after them, took the boy with her inside the hut. She hardly slept that night. When she opened the door next morning, not one, but two birds, two half-hested, sat there. She chased them away. No one should take her boy. They flew and landed. They walked around and nodded their heads. When the boy showed up, they screamed as they beat their wings. He answered them, and she did not recognize him. She found some toys to distract him. She sat down in the opening of the door, leaned the head against the wall, and fell asleep. She woke up. She could not see him. Well, in the distance he was, her boy, far out on the ocean, riding his horse. She shouted at him, but he continued to ride in the distance. She saw him no more. Then she was alone. She gathered all the gifts the sea had given, put them in the chests and pushed them out on the sea. The chest floated, pushed here and there, followed the currents, away, away, away. Maybe, she thought, he could find them and remember her. She waited, thinking sometimes that she heard him, looking, seeing a figment she yearns so much that she thinks he's there. She can imagine him. One day, the bird was all over outside the hut. Afterwards, later, after hearing this, you might try to read a story by Regine Normann. Birds all over. Bird. A bird. There were birds there. They stared. She did not stare back.
They reminded of him.
It is reminiscence of him. When Daniel died, he left behind boxes that remained in the basement. 2 years later, I decided to look over them. We carried them up to the apartment and opened them. There were loads of DVDs, all kinds of movies he had collected. What a gift! But then there were just boxes, only cases. There were empty shelves, the content were gone, no films. We threw the boxes on the recycling. A month later, we found the content, all the movies neatly sorted into folders, as if body and mind were separated and could never be reassembled. You remember the time you almost fell apart? you depart from your other? She.
Every
there was
day.
A scream. She remembered every the scream. She remembered Hal Hest and every ran between day. The birds that jumped every aside. Day. There he was, every her beautiful boy. Every day. Look here, he said. Every this day. Is for you. Every he handed her a cloak every of feathers. Now she could be with him forever. She put it on and flew away. And down there, her home, a distanced period. Never again could, would she be the one who she once was. Regine Norman writes my translation. Every midsummer night, a shag comes flying up the sea road to the icewet. It walks around the old hut and sits there, stretches and hits the wings towards the sun. That is the woman, that is she, who cannot get rid of the memories from